League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WTF1 podcast. Today, we are, of course, not talking about any Formula One races going ahead. We have a little bit of F1 news to dive into, and also a lot of esports side of things. But, of course, I am not on my own. I am joined by the one and only Tommy Bellingham.
Hello, Matthew.
How are you doing?
I'm not bad. I can't see you again. It's very odd, but maybe we'll get used to it because it seems like it's going to be going on for a while.
It's going to be very strange, isn't it, when we next meet up? It's going to be like the first time all over again. It's going to be beautiful.
Wonderful.
So today, obviously, we're going to be talking about one of the big things that occurred on Sunday, which was the first virtual Grand Prix and all the other things that have been going on in the F1 world. Not that there's been a huge amount, but in terms of esports, it's been quite a successful time, isn't it, for esports? Very much taken the forefront of motorsport.
Yeah, there's been loads going on. We had the two that we had last week and an additional one, which was obviously quite chaotic and also pretty damn cool. So we'll go into that.
Absolutely. Let's dive into some three words from fans. Still not race reviews, although we could technically call them race reviews. But
we've got a race now, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a race, isn't it? At @ack.master, no punterino Lando, @_JH_Cooper_, where's the drivers? @memes_have_spokens, go Lando bot, and @Gahassan_T_Gurahebe. You really do choose the best ones, don't you, Tommy?
I do.
Better than France. Obviously, that's mainly talking about the virtual GP. We also had the Veloce race, the Not the Bahrain Grand Prix, happened just before that. And we also had the race, I think, on Saturday as well, didn't we, doing their own thing on our factor as well. So there's a variety of esports stuff going on. But we're focusing in on the Formula One, obviously, because it's the Formula One-led one, although the Veloce one is also backed by Formula One, which is a little bit confusing. But I was part of the broadcast as well, so no bias at all. But also, F1 Virtual GP was the best, right?
And this was brand new as well, so... Exciting times.
Exactly. Brand new. It's crazy. So we're going to dive into my three-word review first. And mine was Johnny Herbert Legend. Oh, my goodness me. Well, first of all, before we dive into it, if you haven't watched the race, then please go and check it out because it was chaotic. Unfortunately, it was reduced from a 50% race to a 25% race due to technical issues, Lando not being able to connect and so on, which is something that you've... A lot of games have been seeing it in their esports kind of world. I'm a big fan of League of Legends, and I was watching their esports broadcasts where, you know, they've got probably 100 times the budget of what Gfinity do, and yet they had to do it remotely, and they had a game where the commentary wasn't even over the game. There was breaking up, all sorts of stuff. So the challenges ahead in the whole esports industry is crazy at the moment, but I think the fact that the race happened, obviously it was shorter, not ideal, and I think Tom Deacon labelled it a beta version because you know, it was only a few days of turnaround, which is pretty hectic, right?
Yeah, exactly. You had issues with the Veloce one on the very first time they did it, and you know, you've got to give F1 the benefit of the doubt. It's the first one they've done, and also it's quite easy to banter about, oh, you can tell it's not real because there's all these connection issues and stuff, but issues happen in sport in real life. We've had incidents where, you know, in Formula One where lights haven't turned on or things like that. So this is just a kind of technical hitch that you get with sport in general, really.
Yeah. So if you haven't checked it out, go check it out. But the reason I went for Johnny Herbert Legend is because actually, he wasn't too bad in terms of practice. I know that he was set up very late. Yeah, and he was actually reasonably on the pace. He was saying that in practice he was doing sort of 29s. And when you're looking at 126s being the fastest sort of F1 esports drivers, and then you've got, you know, kind of the average Joes like me, like 28s. Then you've got Johnny Herbert, who probably hasn't played an F1 game in many a year, just dropping a casual 29. It was pretty crazy. So, but he still started quite far down the grid. And yet, I think he started 16th, and by turn one, he was leading as he went hurtling up the inside, forgetting turn one completely, maybe also turn two as well, and then joining at turn three. It was one of the craziest things I've ever seen, and I wasn't actually commentating on the race, but I had my headset on, and I was crying. It was so funny. One of the best esports moments I've ever seen.
It was great, because Bahrain, if you hadn't seen it, it was obviously Bahrain, because that's the race we would have had this weekend, and with the first corner, the way it sort of doubles back on itself, like the big hairpin bend, but then it also cuts back again. So Johnny Herbert managed to cut out turn one, but then obviously get the perfect line into turn two, if you like. So he's almost like straight lining that as well. So the advantage is absolutely huge. And he just decided, I'm not taking turn one. I mean, and to be fair to him, he avoided all the other chaos because of it. So you'd take the penalty, right?
He got a 10-second penalty, and he definitely would take it. The fact that the commentary was saying Johnny Herbert leads the race is one of the sentences I didn't think I would ever hear for the rest of my life. But it was incredible. We've got a few questions as well. At Jamie Smith 0811 says, though it was definitely a fun evening, can you suggest ways to improve the sim races? Different rules, different drivers, different coverage, more Matty WTF1. I didn't pay this person, by the way. Sure. But I think the one thing for me that doesn't particularly make sense is the fact that the Veloce one, which happens a couple of hours beforehand, is pretty much part and parcel what the Formula One coverage is only a couple of hours later. I think that Tom was saying in the broadcast, at least, that we were going to Melbourne next, which I was slightly... I don't know if he meant to say that or not, because I feel like we'll be going to China next, but... I feel like there definitely needs to be a variation. I know that Veloce have changed it, so it's 25% race with qualifying, and then you've got 25% reverse grid after that, which definitely spices it up a little bit. But I feel like there needs to be a little bit more variation, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, you've obviously got the three, I guess you'd say, major players in terms of the esports race going on at the moment. So you've got the race, which do theirs on R Factor. Then you've got the Veloce one. And the fact that you had the race one on Saturday, you almost want that one in the middle because it's a bit different. Whereas because they're back to back, and especially because of the timing as well, it was literally straight after. If you watch the first one, it feels very, very similar. And there's also a lot of very similar drivers as well, isn't there?
Yeah, exactly. I know that with the Formula One one, there was no F1 esports drivers, and they were all basically celebrities, content creators, and so on. Which I actually preferred. I preferred that to having four or five F1 esports drivers and then them just romping off, and then it's just a battle for sixth place. So at least we had Philip Eng and you had Guan Yu Zhou fighting for the victory and things like that, which is something that you'd never see in a normal esports tournament. So for me, I like that more than having a mixture, because it just doesn't really make sense to me. Whether it's a case of having F1 esports drivers as a race and then the celebrities as a race, I don't know. But I think that F1 have it right.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I can't actually remember if I mentioned it in the last one, but I think we were speaking about it maybe just on our own when we were chatting, that with the Veloce one, it is very much you had the esports drivers just blazing off into the distance. And it was a bit similar in the very first one with the race as well, where you had people like Max Verstappen, who didn't actually do the latest one, but he was in the first one, and so was Jimmy Broadbent and Da Costa and these people. But because the R Factor 2 players that play week in, week out were just storming off into the lead, you didn't really get to see the celebrities, if you like, doing it, which sort of was a bit of a shame, really. So this Formula One is just very much, here's a load of people that you will have heard of on the F1 game.
Racing.
And
the lineup was ridiculous. You know, I know a lot of them did translate from Veloce to F1 Esports, like Ian Poulter, and you had, all sorts of drivers coming from there. But there were a few different ones as well. You had Liam Payne, you had flipping...
Yeah.
Oh, my... I couldn't believe that when Williams announced Liam Payne. I was like, what? How?
Yeah, it's such a random thing. And it's one of these things, again, where if you'd have said to us 3 months ago that we'd be talking about Liam Payne driving a Formula One game, I mean, what is this crazy dream that's going on right now?
Yeah, and a nightmare, I guess, in some ways
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, true.
yeah, so obviously, yeah, other drivers coming from Veloce to the race, like Gutierrez, Van Dorn, you know, there were so many people that are so keen to be involved. But I think that with this happening now, so many more racing drivers are now wanting to get involved. You know, you see all these drivers getting their sims set up. I was speaking to Ollie Webb only earlier today, and he was saying, you know, I've got my sim set up. How do I get involved in the F1 virtual GP and stuff like that? So the interest is there, which is amazing, because obviously not many people have many things to do at the moment. But in terms of going back to Jamie Smith's question of what could be done differently, I think just even if it's on a different day, as you say, maybe if it's the Veloce ones on the Saturday and then the F1 ones on the Sunday, at least there's that break in between rather than going straight from one broadcast to another. But then at the same time, it's absolutely ridiculous the viewers that the I didn't see the Veloce and how many they got, but in terms of Formula One, there was reports of it being like 400,000 concurrent viewers, which is
it was absolutely
mind-boggling. And the funny thing was is that obviously we were doing the broadcast at the Gfinity Arena, but there was as minimal amount of people as you possibly could have.
Yeah.
So for us as a broadcast team, we felt like we were broadcasting to 100 people because it didn't feel like a normal F1 esports show. We had so many little, you just had cameras on tripods with one man kind of just sorting the whole thing. So for us, it just felt like the complete opposite. So it was crazy to hear the numbers, and you know, it just shows that the interest is there because not that many people would tune in, even if, you know, Formula One was on and that sort of stuff. I know that they'd probably choose the real life sport, but it's nice to see that it's coming to the forefront.
Exactly. It shows there's an appetite for it. The so many people that I know that maybe aren't even that interested in esports and maybe have a small interest in F1. They were still watching, and I saw a lot of people posting about it. So it's awesome that many people, and this would have been a lot of people, maybe a lot of people's first time watching it as well, watching this kind of virtual racing. So pretty cool.
Yeah, as horrible as this whole situation is, it has given esports this incredible opportunity for people to understand why someone else would watch someone playing a game. And as horrible as this whole situation is, I feel like esports hopefully will now have that platform even when real life sport returns.
Yeah, 100%. It's a proper game changer, isn't it?
Is that a pun? Good one.
It was completely accidental. Yeah, it's a game changer for esports and the whole industry. It's just, this is, in a weird way, their time to shine, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's not the fact that F1 esports, that's all right. I'll get as long as it's not Corona, Tommy, we're fine.
No, exactly. I just needed to work.
But in terms of, what was I going to say, the viewership and whatnot, it is crazy to see. And I think that, I completely lost my train of thought after you coughed then. It'll come back to me. Anyway, let's move on to the next question. At F1 _ Monocoque, why was Liam Payne the only one who maintained his social distance on the leaderboard? Liam wasn't particularly good by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not sure why he set a 2:16 and then retired from the session, because I know that they couldn't physically break their car because it was on reduced damage. So very strange decision from him. And I know he was very much off the pace, but if he comes back again, it just shows that he's able to put his dignity on the line a little bit and just have a bit of fun, because a lot of these guys are.
Yeah, is I mean, fair play. It's obviously quite funny watching people, but fair play for them for turning up and giving it a go, to be fair. So, and I did hear actually with Liam.
Oh, go on.
Sorry, I did hear with Liam Payne. Don't know if this is true, but someone tweeted that the racing line was forced off or something in the actual race.
Oh yes,
but he'd been driving with the racing line. Yeah,
you posted that on Twitter, so I didn't see who that actually came from, but
yeah.
Right, continuing on, why not more F1 drivers? At Emma Reginkos says, why do you think most F1 drivers didn't want to participate in the e-race, and is there a way to change that? For me personally, and you know, this is just comes from my opinion rather than having hard facts, but well, apart from potentially Max Verstappen not wanting to race on the Formula One game because he didn't really want to trundle around the back. I think that's what he told Ziggo Sport, I think, I'm not mistaken. So I know Max, obviously, you know, competitive, doesn't want to be trundling around the back. But I think the other drivers, probably just a case of they don't have to, so they won't, sort of thing. You know, they probably don't, especially the older drivers, probably don't see it as a particular, like they don't see it as any reason to go and do it. And I don't know how they're approached, but I'm sure F1 are like, would you like to rather than you have to? You know, they don't have any contractual obligations to do it, so why would they, I guess?
Yeah, it's true. I guess I remember Danny Ric actually, maybe it was in Baku, him telling us that he wasn't interested at all in sim racing and doesn't do the whole gaming side, and that you know, Max Verstappen loves it, and he was mentioning that Max is proper into it, but it's just not his thing. And obviously we saw him chilling on a tractor instead.
Yes, I guess it is that as well. You know, not all of these guys just have access to a simulator, although I'm sure if they said yes, I'll race, there will be some sort of logistics put in place to
100%
to send a sim over. So I think the drivers are just enjoying the downtime, and it is a shame. I would love to see, even if it was just a one-off for Lewis Hamilton or whoever, just to have one race, just to spend a little bit of time. We know Lewis loves Gran Turismo, which means he's not going to be rubbish at the Formula One game.
Exactly.
So there are drivers out there. I mean, George Russell, I don't particularly see as any excuse. You know, he's a young driver. I'm sure he has access to a sim.
Yeah, same with Alex Albon as well.
Yeah, Alex Albon. I just find it a little bit strange that more F1 drivers weren't involved, but maybe it just took one. You know, maybe they were watching at home and they've seen that 400,000 people are watching. They go, oh, actually, this might be worth it.
Because I think... carry on. Sorry, it's weird. It's weird because we're not together, just interrupting each other all the time. Go on, you go.
All I was going to say is that I didn't... You know, they may not have seen it as a reason to do it. They might have thought it was just a small gaming thing, but actually it's pretty damn huge.
Yeah, and I think it was, to be fair to F1, quite short notice as well. It wasn't, you know, it was, and like you were saying with the broadcast, it was put together fairly quickly. You know, it was only announced recently. All the F1 drivers have been announced, and I guess the biggest disappointment for people was when it was publicized as we're doing an official Formula One virtual race, and all the drivers have been invited. You'd say, well, even if it's four or five, it would still be pretty awesome. But the fact that only one of them turned up, I guess that was people's disappointment.
Two, Latifi.
And, well, if you count Lando's AI, which we'll go into later. but as well, I know Grosjean got a sim and he was saying that he needs a bit of time to practice. So maybe a few others are getting sorted out and maybe just want a bit of time to practice, because let's be honest, they're super competitive. And even Max saying that he doesn't want to be at the back of a F1 game when it is absolutely just for fun to entertain people, and he's that competitive, he still doesn't want to do it if he's not got a chance to win. So it says a lot about them. They're competitive.
That's the thing. It's still their egos on the line, isn't it?
And, yeah, exactly.
You know, they don't want to be the ones that come last. So, yeah, that might be a case as well, that they just want to practice, get up to speed with it. But at the same time, they're all F1 drivers. I think they would be at a decent level anyway. I mean, Nico Hülkenberg, he picked it up only a couple of days ago, maybe yesterday, and he was decent. He was quick. He qualified fifth in the race. And I think that a lot of the drivers would be exactly the same. So let's hope that for next time, a few more of them pick up a steering wheel and get involved. Some people weren't happy with the race. At MLD Sunlight 70 said the official F1 race was ridiculous, wasn't it? They should put in the eSport drivers. Now, I know we've mentioned a little bit about the fact that I think we both were of agreement that we didn't really want the F1 eSports drivers in. That it wasn't a race to compare to an eSports race, because it's not that kind of broadcast. And I think the tone of voice was like that throughout most of the broadcast anyway. You know, there was me, Tom, Jack, Alex, all just having a bit of fun, having a bit of banter between each other and just having that lighthearted content whilst also trying to have a serious race. And obviously Johnny Herbert added a different element to that by cutting the entire of the first corner. But yeah. I think that in general, a lot of people liked the tone of voice of the fact that it was just a bit of fun and nothing was particularly on the line.
100%. And I completely disagree with that, because then, you know, if you put the esports drivers in, it's just F1 esports, which
and
is
no one
different.
Would tune in. There'd be no pull to it.
Well, yeah, you have F1 esports as a separate thing, which is the main esports drivers, but this is something different.
Yeah, not that no one would tune in, but in terms of when you look at the viewing figures of F1 esports nights, And then if advertised as an F1 esports night, you're not going to bring in 400,000 viewers. So, so it's a complete no-brainer for me, the fact that they've got this mixture of F1 drivers and celebrities at the moment. And I think that as this grows, there'll just be more and more high-profile celebrities as nothing else is really going on. So fingers crossed we get Donald Trump in for the next one. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Imagine. Sure.
Right, Tommy, hit us with your three-word review.
So my review sort of leads on to that a little bit, which is much needed laughs. And this is basically the fact that we don't need to be reminded that the world's pretty depressing at the moment, especially with all this going on. And last night, for probably the first time in a very long time, I and I know a few other people agreed that you could forget about it. The C word, which is corona, obviously. We could all forget about it for a moment and just enjoy that kind of Twitter banter of having a live event and having Formula One drivers involved. And it was hilarious. And especially the fact that you had Lando streaming it as well, which just added another element to how funny it was. It was just some much needed enjoyment for everyone in a difficult time.
Yeah, and it was so nice to... Obviously, I couldn't enjoy that because I was part of the broadcast, but I have seen some clips of Lando Bott and phone calls to George Russell and Max Verstappen and all sorts. Zach Brown, I think he called as well, didn't he?
Yeah, so the Lando Bott thing, we had so many questions about that, and that was the fact that his game crashed on the formation lap, was it?
I don't know.
I think
you tell me.
I didn't know how much you knew. I saw a clip, and I believe it was the formation lap where his game crashed. So his AI was still driving around, but because everyone was crashing so much, his AI still managed to be in the kind of top five through the whole race.
I'm pretty sure his AI was also set to like at least 100. So
Fair.
So I think 110 is the max, and I think the AI was actually pretty decent.
Nice. So yeah, Lando was actually doing really well with this AI, and then it was only about four laps to go, I think, he managed to join.
Yeah.
But he was obviously on Twitch just laughing, going, and he started this whole Lando Bot thing of like, come on, Lando Bot, I'm in third and stuff, and it was proper funny.
At William Bertie says, was it Jimmy Broadbent's fault? This would be the crash on the last lap going towards the final corner. To be fair, from the spectator side of things, it looked like it was Jimmy's fault, but then Lando looked like he was also squeezing a little bit. So I think it was 50-50 racing incident from what I saw anyway.
Yeah, it's funny that because it was almost like a no rules race, that there's no kind of consequences to this, but it is still kind of fun to kind of speculate it as if it was a real racing incident, which obviously on the podcast we love to dive into these sort of things, so this can just be our chance to have a go at some stewarding because we've not done it for a while.
Or lack of stewarding.
Yeah. I thought Lando squeezed him a little bit, to be honest. He definitely got a bump and then just decided, yeah, I'm gonna push you into the wall, but he wasn't.
And he had that position. He didn't really need to squeeze, did he? He was on the fresher tyres. He could have easily just taken the inside line and finished fourth. But Jimmy had a great drive, which was awesome to see, because I know he's been struggling on the F1 game a little bit. So
he's had some unfortunate races with it. But this time he was very much at the forefront of it. That was probably the standout, other than the Johnny Herbert thing, that was probably the standout incident, wasn't it, from the race?
His
battle. And it was a great battle before that as well, obviously, not just the crash. They were going side by side through many, many corners.
Yeah, which was awesome to see. I wonder if Jimmy will make a video about that. We'll have to wait and see.
I'm sure he will. Speaking of when you mentioned earlier about drivers, that we want to get more drivers involved, after the race, Lando did actually call Alex Albon, and they were having a chat for a bit. And he basically said Alex should get involved, and he was like, "Yeah, I think I will." So,
oh, good.
Hopefully, he didn't.
Fingers crossed.
Couldn't convince Max.
No,
they were kind of bantering about it, weren't they?
Yeah, I don't think Max is particularly fond of the F1 2019 game.
No,
but anyway, it was all good fun, wasn't it? And a very nice evening. a very nice evening all round. Now, we need to take a brief intermission for this WTF1 podcast to have a quick chat about our sponsor for this episode, Babbel. Is that right, Babbel? Is that how we say
Babbel,
it?
Babbel, yeah.
Yeah, like Ryan Babbel.
That's what I've been calling it.
Ryan Babbel. In these testing times of not being able to travel pretty much anywhere, I think it's fair to say people have more time on their hands than usual, at least I do. Hardly leave the house. One of the things that Babbel can help you with is learning a language. Now, I learned French and German in secondary school, and it's quite funny, actually. I play Call of Duty Warzone quite a bit. And have you played it yet, Tommy? Have you played it?
I haven't. No.
You should get on it.
I'd be terrible.
And so it's a battle royale game, and I joined a game with two German guys, and genuinely I could tell like a few words, but I was sat there like, I wish I could learn what they're saying a bit more, because they were saying directions and all sorts, and I was going, I have no idea where this guy is to shoot. Anyway, back to Babbel. So basically I pretty much forgotten all of my German and French, but with Babbel you can relearn that language in a matter of weeks. The app itself has a clear and simple interface guiding you through your learning journey in a funny and smooth way. It doesn't take much time up at all either, with daily 10 to 15 minute lessons. So with all that procrastinating and self-isolating everyone's doing, I'm sure that 10 to 15 minutes is not too long.
Exactly.
So you can try it. Go on, sorry.
So if you're going to be sat on your phone with nothing to do, why not do this?
Why not learn a language? Do it.
Exactly.
So try Babbel today by going to babbel.co.uk or download the app for free. That's Babbel, Babbel.co.uk, or download the app to try for free. Babbel, learn a new language and make it your own. There you go. So if you want to learn a language, go check out Babbel. And I will always think of it as Ryan Babbel.
I'm sure, no relation, I'm sure.
It's a Liverpool striker, if anyone's wondering. Right, on to some real-world F1 news, which we don't have too much of it, and it's usually negative, and unfortunately, this is also negative. Baku, cancelled. Not really surprising, is it, Tommy?
No, not at all. It's looking more and more like this is just going to be going on a long time, and I don't think anyone, while they said that Baku could be the season opener, I don't think anyone believed that was going to happen, so we just wait.
No. I might turn my light on. I'm feeling like I'm getting a bit dark here. One sec. Lovely. Don't know if that changed much, but you can now see me a little bit clearer. Continuing on, at Yosi_Moskowitz, what is your opinion on which team is benefiting or losing from such a delayed start of the season? Now, that's obviously very speculative. We don't really have a clue. Everyone's being pretty much affected by this. We don't know how much. I guess it's that window of period between Australia obviously being cancelled and then all these restrictions of being able to work on the car and work in factories and so on. I think Ferrari's still been hit the hardest, I imagine. I know there's been some speculation of the fact that Ferrari have probably like gained from it because they were off the pace in pre-season testing. But for me, Italy has been hit the hardest in terms of anywhere other than China, pretty much. So for me, I can't see how Ferrari would have benefited even if they have had this extra time.
No, exactly. They've not been able to work on the cars. And I know that it's soon probably going to be to the point where they do say to teams that you're going to have to lock down. I guess they're going based on what's happening in their own country. So that's obviously affected Ferrari hugely, especially with Maranello being in sort of that zone where it was really, really bad. But I guess Racing Point would be quite gutted because they look like they were going to start the season really strongly and kind of wanted to make the most of that advantage, I guess.
Not that we can take anything from pre-season testing.
From testing, I guess not. It feels weird. Do you not think it feels weird to think that we had F1 testing now?
Yeah, it's very odd, isn't it? It's seems, very strange.
Yeah, I was thinking about it the other day and I saw some pictures and videos and it felt like it has never happened now because of obviously... Yeah. No racing happening.
The funny thing is, it'll be if we eventually have a race and everybody turns up with a Racing Point copy of Mercedes. Imagine that if
all
the teams have gone back to the drawing board and gone, well, why don't we do this? Hopefully we'll get a race at some point. But obviously, Baku hasn't been cancelled, though, has it? It's been postponed.
Postponed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you wrote cancelled.
Oh, sorry. No, sorry. Postponed. They've all been postponed. I mean, let's be honest. The only one, obviously, that's been cancelled for good is Monaco. But they're saying postponed, but let's be honest, the later and later this goes on, they're not fitting 20, going to fit struggling 20 races into a month, are they, at the end of the season? So it's going to be difficult.
Need to be careful with these scripts, Tommy. You know that I'm like Ron Burgundy, and I'll just read out whatever's on the script. In other news, obviously you just mentioned it, Monaco Grand Prix cancelled this year, and the 2021 regulations have been moved back a year, which is, yeah, another, you know, obviously a lot of F1 fans, including ourselves, looking forward to these new regulations. But also, we also thought that this year was going to be probably one of the better years in terms of the fight at the top, although pre-season testing suggests maybe it wasn't going to be. So maybe a little bit more time for 2021 to be a really good year. I don't really know.
Yeah, it's weird. It makes sense that they've pushed it back, because this season is going to be a proper write-off, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Whoever wins the title, like, is, because this is the whole thing, isn't it? You know, well, if I could just see it now. If we do have 8 races in 3 continents, which in the rule book is how a world championship is formed, right, for Formula One. Yeah. I wonder if Hamilton wins that championship, has 7 titles, and then doesn't win a championship again. Will that then go down as people going, well, he didn't win a full championship.
He's won 6.5.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to be fair, I will be that Schumi fanboy and probably say that. But also, you know, you do think that would Hamilton even want to win a championship that so almost feels half-hearted because of the way in which everything's unfolded?
It is so weird. We don't obviously know. It's all speculation. But it's going to be really strange when we are allowed to race again, how they're going to sort this mess out, really, with the season.
Yeah, because I guess they're looking at it and going, is there any point in us running this world championship, yes or no? Because obviously the later it gets delayed, they're not going to want to run 6 races and then go, oh, well, we haven't really done much here. Like, they clearly have an idea in their head where they go, well, we need to have at least 14 races or something. I can't imagine they're looking at 8 and going, yeah, this will be a world championship.
It's so weird, isn't it? Like you say, if this carries on till September,
they've got to pull the plug.
Yeah, exactly. When do they say 2020 is just a write off of an F1 season and we go again from next year?
But there's just so much money on the line as well, isn't there? It's just crazy to think.
Yeah, and McLaren. I noticed there was news that McLaren, it's not official, but they're obviously we're going to have Mercedes engines in 2021. Now, do they push that forward? Because the original plan was that they would have those new engines for that new car. But now with the pushback, do they push the engine and or sponsors and driver contracts? It's a mess.
So many unanswered questions. Yeah. It's going to be a very strange rest of the year. Even if we get no racing, there's going to be so many stories that unfold over the course of these next few months. Question at Aradan 315: will we see any new teams in 2022? Thanks to the delay in the new regulations.
I can't imagine anyone fancies getting into F1 at this time.
Mm-mm. Yeah, how low the stocks are and everything as well.
I think the biggest concern, if anything, is if anyone's going to be hurt by the situation and potentially lose a team rather than gain a team. Because, you know, with no racing, we don't know. Everything's different because it's such a unique situation. But sponsors and stuff aren't getting, you know, you've paid millions of pounds to be on a Formula One racing car and there's no sponsorship.
Yeah. And F1 teams still have to run, and F1 teams rely on sponsor money in order to run their teams. So it's an absolute mess. And you look at maybe a team like Haas that did really badly last year in terms of the constructors. Were they looking at this year as, right, you know, we've got to do well this year, because, you know, the finances aren't never ending, especially when it's run by a person, Gene Haas. So,
yeah,
there's many, many factors. Maybe they'll get Rich Energy back on.
And someone with Haas, with a car that they didn't really understand, the fact that the regulations are now going to be lasting for another year, that's going to surely hurt them because they're probably desperate to get these new cars in so they can almost start again with a clean slate, if you like. Yeah.
Yeah, right, enough doom and gloom. Let's talk about something a little bit more positive that you created once again, Tommy, for this weekend. Twitter poll GP. Do you want to give us an update on what happened this week?
Okay, yeah, so this was pretty fun. I have enjoyed doing this a lot, actually, to be honest. It was
It's gone down a treat.
It was great for so many people to be, even just having the messages of people going, yeah, it's back and stuff, has been really good because we all, like, without going too Lewis Hamilton into it, obviously we all need a lot of positivity and all this kind of stuff going on. So yeah, the Twitter poll GP instead, the first one was actually deciding the grid format. So we had a very unique grid format, which was decided on race number order. So Daniel Ricciardo was on pole from Lando, and a lot of people were sharing funny pictures of Giovinazzi looking quite sad because obviously he's number 99. Starting last. So a kind of race summary is both Mercedes crashed into each other and
shock just like they did last time,
and Toto started smashing tables. No, they didn't. Hamilton stalled last time and Bottas pulled his steering wheel off using DAS. But this time they crashed into each other and Toto started smashing all the tables in the garage. Lando and Ricciardo were collided kind of going for the lead. Then the safety car came out and Ferrari were running P1 and P4, but they tried to double stack, messed it up. And then Lando and Danny Ric were back up at the front, but this time Ricciardo sent it and kept it clean and won the race.
Wow. So
people are actually doing championship tables and all sorts right now, which is unexpected. So
amazing. So there wasn't complete carnage then, because I know that obviously every single time is usually the most carnage option, but Danny Ric send it actually ended up in a clean overtake, which is surprising.
Yeah, exactly. I've started making it so you kind of, people pick a scenario and it sort of leads on to something, and then so it's not just constantly, do you want these two to crash? Do you want these two to crash? Do you want these two to crash?
And sometimes the option that may look like it's going to cause a crash or something isn't actually going to do that, and maybe something with a more calm option actually ends up being worse in terms of incidents and stuff. Nice. I like it. So when can we look forward to the next one? Next week?
Well, I'll probably just stick to doing it when the races were meant to be, to be honest, because I worry I'm going to run out of ideas.
Fair. Yeah, let's stick to race weekends. Right, that's pretty much it. We are done here for the WTF1 podcast. Anything else you wanted to add, Tommy, before we go?
No, should we try and wave to each other again when we leave?
Sure. I'm not sure how this is going to work because I'm recording on my phone this time.
Yeah,
but
me too.
I'll just turn and go like that.
Which way are you
obviously
turning?
Make sure you check out... Before we turn and wave, Tommy, I have to say, make sure you go and check out Babbel again, babbel.co.uk, or download the app to try for free. Thank you, Babbel, for sponsoring this episode. Without sponsors, we would be nothing. So, and obviously without you guys as well. Fans and sponsors are what makes WTF1 go round. So make sure you also check out That Time When, which is coming out next week for audio listeners. And if you haven't checked that out, please do. It's when we talk about the most incredible moments in Formula One history. We won't be adding to that anytime soon with no races, but hopefully we will at some point. Hey, Tommy.
Yeah, exactly. And if you've not listened to any yet, now is the perfect time, because with no racing on, we've recorded, well, a year's worth. So there's plenty of classic races that we dive into, so now's the time to get listening to the old ones if you haven't yet.
Exciting stuff. Right, thank you so much for listening, guys, or watching if we go for the watching as well. So that's it. Thank you so much, Tommy, and let's wave goodbye.
Bye. Right, I'm gonna look to the right.
I'm already waving.
Which way are you looking though?
I looked left. I looked left again.
Okay, bye.
I think we're good.
Yeah, it's mirrored, so it
okay, bye.
Bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.